You have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Well, so good to see so many of our friends, carpenters, Ma and Pa, good to see you. And Billy, good to see you and your wife. Man, we didn't get to see you guys yesterday, but all those that were here, man, thank you for being here. Thank you for being faithful. Brother Bob, good to see you down there. And man, it's good to see all those that we have some connection, whether it's you were a young person when we were old people back, at least you called us old, back in college, but this is the amazing part, you're now our age, all right, back then, all right? So our family is getting older, as you imagined. We have four children. For you that don't know, we have an oldest daughter, Callie. She's a junior in college. My son, Bryce, is a sophomore in college. And Maddie and Lindsay still travel with us, not today, obviously, but they're still traveling with us on the road full time. And she is a junior, she's 17, and our baby girl, she's 14. Lindsay was born right here, and I told the group yesterday, she's the only Southern baby that we have. And we know this because she's the only one that runs outside barefoot. It's true. And she claims it's her roots, all right? She says it's because I was born in North Carolina. And so we're thankful for each one of them and God's working in their lives. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here. And as I told Brother Jim, I really don't feel adequate preaching here, okay? Pastor Surratt, my hero, even today, what he's doing today is what I preached about yesterday. He's my hero. When I think of men loving their wives, I think of Pastor Surratt. What an example we had. Only guy I know that could take any text and get something out of it. In which I read 1,000 times and never got it out of it. So irritating. And Brother Jim, thank you for the opportunity. I am definitely not as experienced as you are, but boy, I tell you, I've got a passion for it. If I could do one thing, I would go around the country and preach on the home. Because it's a wreck. You know, I think sometimes we get into this little idea that, you know, I'm okay. I'm fine. My marriage is okay. My home's all right. Before long, we fall into complacency. Before long, we're dealing with problems we thought we'd never, ever deal with. And so that's why I think it's so critical that it's not something you're passive with, but you're passionate with. Because there's not much in life that is as great value as your home. Why? Because that car you bought, it's going to rust. If you don't think so, come to Chicago. We'll get her to rust in 4 years, all right? That home you bought, that, you know, that brand new home, guess what? You're going to have repairs. It's going to break down. But listen, those kids that you have, they're priceless. That wife you got, priceless. And so I really do have a passion for this. And so I hope that today we can be a help, all right? I have not mastered it. I wish I had. But you can ask any of my family. Matter of fact, someone asked my kids the other day. We were at a meeting. I was preaching on this. And they said, hey, how's your dad? He's terrible. He's keeping working on it, though. Thanks, kids. Isn't that wonderful? That'll keep you humble, amen. Truth is, that is the truth. I'm terrible. But I'm working on it. Proverbs chapter 24. Did you notice what your Bible says in verse number 3? Would you notice what your Bible says? Proverbs 24, verse number 3. Through wisdom is a house builded. Many of you know that we were building our house, and let me tell you, it takes a lot. I tell you this, I thought I knew building. But when you start from scratch, it's a whole nother process. Takes a lot of wisdom, okay? I like to say wisdom is real simple. Here it is, and I'm a simple guy. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. Is that just easy enough for you? So look what your Bible says. Knowing what to do and when to do it is a house builder. And by understanding, it is established. Okay, that's critical, all right? But look at verse number 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers or the house be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, how many of you know there's a difference between a house and a home? How many of you know that, huh? If you don't know the difference, watch HGTV, okay? They get it all done, right? But they're not done. Why? Because all the staging has to go in, okay? All the art and all the couches and all the, the fake fruit. You know, why do you have fake fruit in your house, okay? But all that stuff has to go in, right? And once you do that, once you put all those decorations and all that Hobby Lobby stuff in your house, all right, it now becomes your home. Isn't it interesting? The Bible refers to that Hobby Lobby stuff as knowledge. It's what makes it pleasant and rich. When we did our home, let me tell you, I had no problem doing the building part, the frame. That's it, man. I can construct this thing and there can be walls. That's not a problem. I can build a wall, all right? But I'm not real good at going from the house to the home. Now, my wife is very good. She knows how to make it from a house to a home, okay? And what most people like is the home, okay? The house is nice, but if it's just a blank canvas, it's really not pleasant. So then, we have to have this knowledge so that we can make this chamber filled with pleasant riches and good stuff. Well, drop down with me as we continue this thought into verse number 16. The Bible says, "For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." This morning, in our 9 o'clock service, I'd like to talk about the facts about failure. Now, you said, "I thought we were talking about the home." I am. Because if we don't have the proper knowledge about failure in our homes, can I tell you, it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to have the beauty that you desire to have in your home. Because the truth is, failure is a part of our life. I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment. And so if we understand these facts about failure, it is a great starting place to make our homes rich and pleasant. Before we get started, can we ask God to give us a hand? Father, you're a great God. Thank you so much for it. And Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. Teach us this morning. Lord, would your Holy Spirit be in complete control? And Lord, one of your jobs as the Holy Spirit indwells is to enlighten truth from your word. So Father, would you do that? Would you show us truth this morning? So that our homes could be rich. So our house can be a beautiful home. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do here in the 11 o'clock or in the 9 o'clock service. In Jesus, my precious Savior's name, amen. We're going to get right into it, but the truth is, there's not a person in this room that hasn't failed. Got what I said? Matter of fact, the first fact that I want to show you is found just right there in verse number 16. It says, "For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Notice number 1, that failure is in man. Now, typical Hebrew poetry, poor Tim Stalka, I picked on him all day yesterday. But the truth is, in Hebrew poetry, there's often a contrast, isn't there? Okay? In this verse, did you notice the contrast? There's a just man that falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Did you hear the contrast? There's the just man. Who are those? Those are the people that decide to do right. And the wicked man. Who is that? Those that decide to do wrong. Okay, I'm not a rocket scientist, but doesn't that pretty much sum up everybody? Okay? Why? It's those people that decide to do right or just. Those people decide to do wrong are wicked. And what he's saying is that both of them fall. Well, what does that tell you? Here it is, that there's not a person in this room, there's not a husband in this room that hasn't failed as a husband. Can I tell you that? There's not a wife in this room that hasn't failed as a wife. There's not a father in this room that hasn't failed as a father. There's not a mother in this room that hasn't failed as a mother. There's not a college kid or college person in this room that hasn't failed as a young person. Why? Because failure is in man. Now, there's three reasons I find that many times we fail, all right? So let me just give them to you real quick. Number one, I find that many people fail because of a lack of knowledge. Now, how many of you in this room are not math people? Raise your hand. Raise your hand nice and high. You're proud of it. Amen. You're not a math person. So I go to John Sousa. You're just easy to pick on. And I said, hey, okay, John, here's what we're going to do. We're going to teach you the quadratic formula. And John's saying, can we go somewhere else? Wash windows, something, all right? I said, no, John, it's really simple. Negative b plus or minus square root of b squared minus 4ac all over 2a. He said, do not speak that way in church. That's foul language. I'm like, no, John, it's not foul language. It's really simple. It's letters and numbers together. Anytime a letter and number together means multiplication. All we're going to do is give you the value of these letters. You're going to multiply them together. You're going to divide, square root, whatever you do. Hey, and it's simple. And so I tried to teach John this new trick, okay? John doesn't get it. I say, John, now watch. You can go to YouTube, all right? And you can put in quadratic formula, and you'll see these imaginary hands appear on this board, okay? And they'll write it out, and you can watch someone take a problem and easily show you how to work quadratic formula. But get it? He still fails. Why? Because there's just a lack of knowledge. He doesn't connect the dots in the process of this mathematical equation. And so because of that, here's what happens. He ends up failing. Well, that's part of life, isn't it? I mean, if you just can't connect the dots, and some people can, I get that, okay? You're going to struggle. And if you have a lack of knowledge many times in your life, you know what I find? I find myself at the doorstep of failure. Second reason why I find many people fail is lack of ability. Lack of ability. Now, Jeremiah, you'll love this. I was preaching along these lines and I was saying, yeah, let's say that we were going to have a three-point contest shooting basketball. And there was this girl that was like this tall. I'm thinking, hey, safe. It's like Janelle, right? Janelle, like, okay, maybe this tall. Okay, Janelle. She was sitting there, but it was the same as her standing there. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those. Little did I know that that girl right there was like the state champion three-point shooter. I was like, she's like, hey, I'll take you on any day. I'm like, no, no, I don't want to do that. But I was picking on her because I thought, oh, this one would be no problem, okay? And I said, now, young lady, if we were to go to the basketball hoop, you know, and I said, hey, let's have a three-point contest. She's looking at me with big eyes saying, okay. Little did I know that I'm talking to the state champ here, all right? And I said, you know what? Just because you don't have the ability. She's like, oh, yeah? And so I was like, yeah, I'm feeling a little nervous about this because they don't normally respond this way to me. And so we were going through this whole thing, and at the end of the service, she's like, hey, I just want to tell you something. I'm like, I'll take you on any day of the year. I'm like, really? She says, yeah, I'm the state champion. I was like, failure, okay, failure. I'm not going to play you, okay, all right? It's just how I am, all right? So the truth is, though, if you lack an ability, let's say you don't play basketball and, you know, you were going up against someone that did, obviously you get the idea, okay? Because of a lack of ability, you didn't clip that coupon. Hey, you often find yourself at the doorstep of failure. But here's the one I really want to deal with. The third reason why I find that many people end up failing is because, number three, a lack of acceptance of truth. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3? Genesis chapter 3. Now, there's enough Bible people in this room. When the preacher says, turn to Genesis 3, what is the first thing that pops in your mind, class? Yeah, the fall of man. Okay, for all the millennials and Gen Z people, hashtag, double hashtag, epic failure, okay? I mean, this is a doozy, right? This is like way bad, all right? You kind of blew it here, all right? This one is at the top of the list, the top of the list. Why? Because this one is a doozy, all right? I mean, come on, you really blew it for a lot of people, all right, right here. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look what your Bible says. Now, the serpent, Satan, was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden, right? We know that Satan is getting Eve to question the authority of God. Now, look at verse number 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, this is what is significant about this passage when it comes to failure. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So here's my question. Did Eve know the truth, class? Yeah. Yeah. Can I say it this way? She had it here. She didn't have it here. See, Bible college, church, all that stuff is great. Okay? Here's what it does. It gives you here. But if you leave, Ambassador, if you leave Emmanuel and it's only here, it'll never change your life. See, right now we're in the world, in society that says, you know what, there's no truth anymore. Just do what you want to do. Your truth. So here's what we've done. We've given people all kinds of facts, knowledge. But you understand, just because you have knowledge, it doesn't mean you're not going to fail. Because according to Eve right here, she knew the truth. It wasn't for a lack of knowledge. It was because she had a lack of acceptance of truth in her life. You know what I find, Pastor Ogle? I don't have to go around and tell husbands that they shouldn't be looking at that on the internet. They already know that. They already know that their husbands are not, or their wives are not satisfied with them doing that. That is not something that I even have to tell them. They already got that. You know what the problem is, Billy? It's here. And not here. See, until it goes from your head to your heart, get it, doesn't change your life. I got a lot of stuff up there. Why? Because I teach Bible, science, and math every day. But can I tell you, the quadratic formula does not change my life. It's up there. Sometimes I wish it wasn't up there, but it's stuck. But that doesn't change my life. Why? Because it's only up there. It's only when it goes from here, which is very important, because knowledge helps us, okay? But it's wisdom that built the house, amen? It's only when it goes from here to here by accepting the truth in my life that it starts changing me. I can't look at that. I can't go to that app. I can't talk that way about my husband, ladies. Why? Because I'm not respecting him when I start belittling him, when I start complaining about what we have, about talking bad about him. I can't do that. Why? Because the truth went from here to here. Get it? This is life-changing stuff. And when it only sticks here, it only stays here. Chris, here's what happens. We often find ourselves at the doorstep of failure, and we're only inches away. Because when you read your text, when you read your text in Genesis chapter 3, she tells him, yes, we're not supposed to partake of it. We're not supposed to take of it. But look what happens. She doesn't flee from it. She sticks around. And the Bible says in verse number 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not eat. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Wait a minute. Epic failure. How come? Same reason you fail in your marriage. Same reason we fail in our home. Can I tell you why? A lack of acceptance of truth. Well, it's only one episode. It's only one song. I was just telling my wife the other day, you know, I feel like sometimes as you get older, you get softer on sin. I don't know, Jeremiah, maybe I'm weird. But sometimes I feel like as I'm getting older, I've got to remain firm. I think sometimes the reason why as you get older you get softer is because you get tired of fighting. Just being practical, being transparent here this morning. And so as you get older you're like, well, I'll just kind of let this one slide in. I'll just do this. It'll be okay. Look, I'm an evangelist, honestly. Everyone thinks you're a superhero, okay? I'm not. But get it. You know what happens when we start letting things just slip in? Let things slide? We stop accepting the truth. And here's what it'll always end up in. Failure. Why? Because it's in man. I look back at my life and I look at our marriage, I look at our home, and every time I find myself failing, you know what I find? I didn't accept the truth. Brother Jim, very rare is it because it was a lack of knowledge. It was just here, not here. By the way, God's still working on me. Aren't you glad God's still working on you? I'm far from perfect. Just ask my kids. But the truth is, hey, failure is a part of my life. But look at number 2, the second fact. Would you go back with me to Proverbs chapter 24? The Bible says in verse number 16, for the just man falls 7 times, and yet and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Number 2, the second fact that I think is something that we have to have knowledge about. It's not only that failure is in man, but number 2, get this, failure does not have to identify man. Failure does not have to identify man. I love what our Bible tells us, okay? In the contrast, he says, those that decide to do right shall fall, right? 7 times, matter of fact. He identifies a number, which is kind of funny, because if I were to ask Brother Art here to come up the stairs, and if he fell first time, he'd be like, hey, Brother Art, you okay? But if he did it 7 times in a row, somebody ought to say, hey, stay seated. Right? Why? It's humiliating. Something's wrong.
ark can walk, okay? So he doesn't need to fall seven times in a row before somebody says, hey, I wonder what's wrong with ark. Okay? I get that. But the Bible says that the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief, period. Did you notice that? And riseth up again says, you know what? Failure doesn't have to identify you. Now, the reason why failure often identifies us, Adam, is because our human nature says, if you don't succeed, quit. Right? If you don't succeed financially, just stop saving. Don't worry about retirement. You know, just try and make it today. Hello? Anyone in this room ever try to lose any weight? Right? And so what do? We try it. We're eating cardboard. We try it, okay? We're tired of cardboard. We go to the scale, and sure enough, we gained a pound. Who's eating cardboard? Amen? I'm going back to Ma Carpenter's beans. Amen. That's good. Now get it. Why? Because our human nature says this, if you fail and fail and fail and fail, you know what? Just quit. That's why very people that aren't good at math go to college for math. That's why people that aren't very good with grammar don't go to college to become English majors. Okay? Why? Because that's not our thing. We're not good at it. I quit. But spiritually speaking, aren't you glad that the person that told you the gospel didn't quit? How many of you in this room heard the gospel the very first time and received Christ as your Savior? Is there anybody in this room? One. Wonderful. Wonderful. Anybody else? It happens, but it's very rare. It's very rare. Now get that. One person. That means, for the rest of us, we're doomed. If the person decided to quit after giving you the gospel the first time and you didn't receive it, failure, I'm done. Realize you would be sitting here this morning? Watch. The just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. It gives us the idea that, hey, the person that's not doing right, let me tell you, what happens in their life is they fall, just like the righteous person falls, the one that decides to do right falls, but get it, they get up. The person that's doing right has that ability to take themselves from where they're at and come back to life, where the person that decides to do wrong just says, throwing in the towel. Hey, can I tell you? I told you at the beginning that my marriage isn't perfect. My home's not perfect. You know, I find a lot of men quit. I'll say it the way it's said today. They check out. If you're here and you're going to go in ministry, you're going to go one day to ministry and you're going to pastor, you're going to be assistant pastor, you're going to be a youth pastor, you're going to go and be a missionary. I don't care what you're going to be, but just be something, all right? But you know what you're going to find? You're going to be speaking to people who their husbands are checked out. You know why? They failed. But remember, failure's in man. They failed. And Bob, you know what they're going to say? What's the point? My wife does a better job of spiritually leading the home than I can anyways. Let's just let her do it. You know what the problem is? The Bible. Bible says it's not supposed to be that way. But get it. That's where we're at. And what happens is dads check out because they're allowing failure to identify them. But get it, it doesn't have to. Failure doesn't have to identify you. Let me get you number three and we'll be done on time. How about that? Proverbs chapter 16, the Bible tells, or Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 16 tells us this: for the just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. All right, number three, the third fact that I think we all need to know, if we're ever going to be have the home that we need to have, is number three, very important. Failure doesn't have to control man. Failure doesn't have to control man. Now, keep your finger here. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Probably one of the greatest chapters in the Bible to me is Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Paul just finishes talking to these believers in chapter 5. And he tells them, hey, there's no sin that God's grace can't cover. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Praise God for that. If you don't praise God for that, you need to, because you need it in your marriage and in your home. No, it's not that big of a sin. That's the problem. It is that big. You just don't see it the way God sees it. So then, obviously, the next logical thought comes in chapter 6. Verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, if you don't know the answer to that question, read verse 2. God forbid, okay? So he's not saying, hey, let's all live in sin so we can get more grace, okay? That's not what he's saying. Now, there's some that preach that, okay, but that's not biblical. He says, God forbid. Look what he says in verse number 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. By the way, there's bunches and bunches of theology right here, okay? What you are in Christ. You walk in the newness of life with Christ. Why? Because he rose from the grave. Look what it says. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, ooh, that's a neat idea, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, now get that. It's our wickedness. He says, is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. Now get what the Bible is telling us. We are crucified with Christ. So what's he saying here? When you became regenerated, when you became a believer, do you understand what happened? You died. You had to put to death the old sinful flesh. And now what do I have to do? I have to remind myself, practically, I'm dead. Positionally, I was dead at salvation, but practically, let me tell you, I can feed this thing all day long and be well alive. And so I have to remind myself, hey, Jake DeAndre, you're dead. You're DOA. We talked yesterday before we ever got into the topic of marriage, is that God, the Holy Spirit, must have control in your life. That's the only way you can have that marriage that God intended. That's the only way you can love your husband or love your wife unconditionally. That's the only way you can respect your husband unconditionally, because the only way you can do it, you can't do it in your flesh. You will absolutely fail. But you can do it through Christ. And how does Christ have that ability in your life? Here it is, right here. I'm dead today. DOA. Today I've got to die. Jake DeAndre, you're dead. Holy Spirit, I want you to have control. Now watch the promise from the Word of God. When we live this way. Look at verse 7. For he that is dead, what's that mean?
That means the person that decides, you know what? My flesh is dead today. That means when it rears up, guess what's going to happen? He's going to have to die again. That means when there's something on my phone that I shouldn't see, that means he's going to have to die again. We're going to have to go to the funeral one more time. That means, hey, when something is said that I didn't, that maybe I was tempted to lie, guess what I've got to do? Brother Clark, I've got to kill him again. I've got to crucify him again. Why? Because my flesh is so strong. But God's Spirit is so much better. He that is dead, next phrase, look what it says, is freed from sin. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Pastor, I'm always amazed about how I talk to fellas, husbands, guys, and you know, we often talk about their addictions. And they say, you know, I got no hope. I've tried this 12-step process. It's 12 steps to this, 12 steps to that. I said, the problem is you're trying to do it in your ability. Didn't you try that before you went to that 12-step program? Did you tell yourself you were a drunk and you wanted to stay drunk? No, you said, I want to be a good drunk. I want to be a better drunk. I want to be the best drunk. Right? That's what you tell. And so what do? You try. You try. You're like, man, I can't get it. And it really doesn't matter the addiction. It all comes under the same scenario. Why? Because failure's in man. Everybody in this room has a limit. Do you get that? Now, some of you, if I said, hey, we're going to run back to Lattimore, some of you are like, uh-uh. Some of you are like, yeah, I'll make it. I'll go with you. Hey, some of you be like, hey, you know what? I can make it to the stoplight. Get it. I think there's very few people in this room that could run all the way consistently to Lattimore. Why? Everybody in this room's got a limit. Now, our limits may be different. I get it. All right? You may be able to run to the bathroom. You know, I don't know. All right? That's it. You may not get more than 100 feet. You're like, I'm done. But you know what? I'm not going to run all the way to Lattimore. That's a marathon, all right? I'm not running no marathon. No way. Why? Because I got a limit. Now watch what your Bible says. God has no limit. He's omnipotent. And when God says, when I'm in control, and you're dead to the flesh, you're going to be free from sin, get what he's saying. You're tapping into a power source you've never had before. You're tapping into something that it will amaze you. You say, you don't understand what my home is. Yes, we look good. We wear suits. We wear dresses. We got our hair parted the right way. We got our shoes shined. We got everything looking good. But really, once that door shuts in our home, it's a wreck. Can I tell you? God knows it, and he can help it. If you don't believe me, just keep reading. Look what your Bible says. It gets good. Look what your Bible says in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. There's that thing again. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have, next three words, class. You believe that? You know what I'm convinced, Pastor? Most guys, it's right here. It's not here. Yeah, preacher, that's good for you. Preacher, that didn't work for me. And I've been trying to love my wife. But you know what? She's still disrespecting me. She's still avoiding me. She's not loving me. She doesn't care for me. Preacher, I don't think that's true. Can I tell you what the problem is? It's here. You haven't got it here. Why? Because you know what my Bible says? For sin shall not have dominion over you. Let me put it the way Jake says it. Failure doesn't have to control you. It doesn't. But it comes down to us. Isn't that understanding these facts about failure? Thomas Edison was asked by a reporter after he invented the light bulb, "Hey, how's it feel to have 1,000 failures before you created the light bulb?" You know what he said back? No, it wasn't 1,000 failures. It was just 1,000 steps to understanding how it works. Hey, can I tell you? Those failures in your life, they can be helpful. And if you understand the facts about it, it'll strengthen your marriage. It'll strengthen your home. Why? Because failure is in man. Failure doesn't have to control man, and failure doesn't have to identify man. Father, we thank you that you can give us these timeless truths, that we, as your believers, can apply to our lives. And Father, I pray that you would help us as we dive into this thing called the home and our marriage. And Lord, would you help us be the husbands and the wives and the grandmas and the grandpas that we need to be. Lord, many times false expectations of success is all we hear about. But Lord, you've used failure in my life. Use failure in other people's lives to help me. So Father, we thank you and praise you. What you're going to do in these couple sessions yet today. In Jesus, my precious Savior's name, amen.